This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you, Ryan, for that illustrious intro.
You're welcome. It was live.
Gets me every time.
The finest work he's ever done for the show, and he wasn't working for the show when he did it.
That's correct. That was for the Dave Glover Show.
It's just a really interesting tidbit about that intro. First of all, for people say all the time that they love the intro, that they can recite it. A lot of times they'll say that my kids can recite it, and they talk about their kids being able to sing along with it. Rachel, who was the producer, was the producer of the Dave Glover Show. She's still on it, but she's no longer the producer of it. She's on as just a personality now, which is cool. She actually was my producer for my Saturday show for like 2 weeks. And then the producer spot opened up on the Dave Glover Show. That's like getting a big league contract, like signing with a big league team, but you're going to like single A, so you're in the game. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we need you at the Cardinals.
Yep.
And so she was with me for 2 weeks. She created that intro, left her fingerprints on the show for all of this time. And people love it. And then Ryan Wiggins also worked for the Dave Glover Show. And you made that for Dave.
Yes, I did.
And yeah. Then he got canned from that show. And they're like, fine, go be with her.
Yeah. They're like, you're like, you like being on in drive time, don't you? Yeah, we're going to put you on middays.
You suggested to the Dave Glover Show that they needed an intro?
I did. Yeah, I mean, the setup of the joke was, you know what? A lot of shows have intros. And so I think that you guys should also have an intro that you play every single day.
And you made one for them.
Going into the Dave Glover Show. And they had not heard it. I think Andrew had heard me doing it in a booth. And he's like, I think I know what you're doing, but I'm not sure. So I just played that live. And they said, I think we'll pass.
I was sitting in the office, which is now my office, hearing this develop. And I was like, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to think I was involved in this. They had nothing to do with it.
No, I didn't even talk to you ahead of time.
No.
Now, I had talked to you.
Like in person.
Yeah, I mean, just like
not about this.
Not about that. And the only difference between the version that you hear now and the version that played then is at the very end, it said, the Dave Glover Show.
Okay.
That's
it. I was about to ask.
That's it.
I was a little bit confused.
I changed it so that we could use it here.
The thing of it that's the craziest is it's such a long
it is.
Joke.
Once you get into it, you're like, okay.
So committed to it.
Right.
It's unbelievable. All right. It's officially, I think, time for Wiggins America.
Yeah,
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
The bee or not the bee.
Love it. Fantastic. All right. These are stories that are either satire or they are real. You got to tell me which is which. We call it the bee or not the bee.
Bee or not the bee.
Because the Babylon Bee is the satire stories. Here you go. First one. German Navy insists there's no deeper message behind warship's decision to blast Imperial March while cruising through London.
Yeah.
Imperial, you know what the Imperial March
is? Yes.
Okay. Is it the B, right?
This story is real.
No!
This story is real. Sure, the German Navy blasting the ominous Imperial March from one of their warships.
Shouldn't it be against world law for the German anything to be able to blast the Imperial March?
Boy, you'd think so.
That's the first false start on Fly to the Bee.
I think it's the first one ever.
Fly to the Bumblebee.
Yeah, Imperial March from one of their warships as it casually sailed down the River Thames in London. Might seem a bit concerning, but don't worry. They assure us Darth Vader's theme song was playing just for fun. The song choice sparked a mix of amusement and confusion across Europe. Germany later clarified that the ship was simply in town for training and a routine supply stop.
For good, not for evil.
Yeah. And they said, look, the captain of the ship can just play whatever he wants because it's a peaceful mission. He was just goofing off, apparently. And everybody had a good laugh.
That's wild.
Isn't
Man,
it?
False start, five Jeez. Yards.
I thought that was the perfect one to lead with because the Babylon Bee loves Lord of the Rings and Star Wars jokes.
Yeah.
And that was real.
Yeah.
Next one. Trump prepares for debate against Kamala by going to bar and arguing with drunks.
I saw this one. This is the bee.
Yup.
You've got it. Yes, it's true. I did come up with this great way to practice for Kamala, Trump explained to several staffers. Quote, I don't think she can hold it, honestly, Trump said. Some people can't hold it. Very sad. Bad. Not good. I can hold mine.
You know what? I'm not, like, signed on to the Kamala's a drunk thing.
No,
Somebody
found a couple clips of the last 4 or 5 years of her doing her speeches where she just kind of rambles and she was just slurring a little bit and they go, well, she must be drunk. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's not impossible that she could have tied one on before a couple of those press interviews.
I just don't think that it's like a... it's not necessary.
Yeah.
It's not necessary to the bottom line. It's speculative. I know people want to joke about that. And I know people... I hear you now. Annie, do you ever hear how they treat Donald Trump? Yes, I do. And I think it sucks when they do that. So my response is not to do the same when there is so much to criticize that isn't speculation on something that's not funny, which is alcoholism.
This is typical internet stuff.
Sorry, I'm a buzzkill on that one.
typical stuff that you see on the internet. Somebody grabbing a couple things and going, what if? And then sometimes it turns into something.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's just there.
Anyway.
After motorcade involved in fender bender, Tim Walz adds Purple Heart to resume.
This is the bee.
You are correct. Quote, I, Tim Walz, for my outstanding bravery and courage in the face of suffering.
He gave it to himself. This is his first
back
act
pain.
As vice presidential
candidate. In the face of suffering slight back pain as a result of rear-ending another person's parked car, do hereby award myself the Purple Medal for Distinguished Valor or something.
Aww.
Walz said, in recognition of my service, I would like to offer myself my sincerest congratulations and best wishes. Science bless America. Communism is the answer. Thank you all. The ending really stuck it there.
I cannot understand the Tim Walz pick.
The further we get into it, the more you're like,
so much downside.
Yeah.
The only upside that he's seen, like the only thing that I can honestly think of is that Shapiro was the only other choice and he was Jewish.
That's another one of those internet things that.
And Minnesota, they want to shore up.
I can't corroborate it, but there are a lot of people at the time of the pick who were saying, yes, he was not the first choice. That Shapiro might have been the first choice, but there may have been even others who also didn't get it. Because they said, no, we don't think it's going to be best for us politically. Next one. Vladimir Putin expresses support for Kamala Harris, says her laugh is so fascinating.
Real.
Yeah, I'm going real as well.
You guys are right. This is real. Throwing his support behind Kamala Harris, Putin said to an audience, quote, her laugh is so fascinating. It means that everything is good. For instance, for Russia. I don't know. For instance, if I'm speaking about Joe Biden, there are so many sanctions against Russia introduced, and if everything is good with Ms. Harris, maybe she will refrain from such measures, or maybe she'll change them. So in the end, it will be the choice of the U.S. people, and we will respect this choice.
Who really wants the Putin endorsement? I mean, if Putin endorses somebody, isn't that really an endorsement for the other person?
I think so.
He knows that.
I mean, I'm not sure that he won't come out next week and do the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just never, he's playing all kinds of games.
Well, it's like I said, or I was referencing earlier this week when the news came out, we talked to Hans von Spakovsky about it yesterday, and he gave us a lot of good insight on what the Justice Department was talking about, the Russia interference in this current election, that when it happened in 2016 and there were arrests made or charges made or whatever, that the intention, Russia's intention is to cause us to question our secure republic and to make sure that we, the more we hate each other, the more we're divided, the weaker we are as a country, and the more that he can sow division and, like I said, confusion and distrust, that's better for Russia. The weaker America is, the better it is for Russia. So if this week he wants to endorse Kamala Harris, but like Ryan's saying, next week he wants to come out and say something flattering to Donald Trump, then he just can pull the strings of all the people who are so emotionally attached to, oh, Putin said this. Like, who cares what the dude says? Like, just look at your own personal situation. The decision pretty much makes itself.
And he's doing that here, too, even beyond the Kamala Harris stuff. The last sentence is, it will be the choice of the U.S. people, and we will respect this choice. I mean, even that is a troll. All right, next one. Amazon says error caused Alexa to say, quote, if you vote for Trump, I will kill you in your sleep.
Oh. I know that this is at least based on fact, because there were Amazon Alexa stuff that was saying all positive things about voting for Kamala, but this sounds like the B treatment of that story. So I'm gonna say B.
Ethan?
Yep, it's the B.
You are correct. Quote, whoops, our bad, said Amazon spokesman Marcus Gleason to reporters. We may have made a teensy little error in the programming that caused Alexa to threaten to murder Republicans.
Oh,
super
no.
Weird, right? Amazon has apologized for the unfortunate error, saying it was a simple software glitch. I mean, how would Alexa even carry something out like that in their killing people in their sleep, said Gleason. We haven't even installed the Laser Eyes update yet.
Oh.
That won't be released until November 5th.
What a relief.
Never does the mistake go the other way.
It's surprising, isn't it?
Never, ever, ever are they like, oh, whoops, we were accidentally endorsing Donald Trump, speaking nicely of Donald Trump a little bit too much, and, you know, unbeknownst to us, we were only disparaging Kamala Harris. It never happens.
Yeah.
Have they actually come out and said anything regarding Alexa saying things about Harris, but not commenting on Trump? Have they actually said anything about that yet?
I think that they've said they've corrected it.
I've heard vague reports that they've addressed it, but that's about it, yeah.
I know that it's been addressed in conversations, but we can look that up. You got one last one before we wrap?
One more. Diversity win. College religion department hires professor who believes in God.
This is unlikely. Real? Just in want?
Ethan?
Yeah. Real.
This is the B.
Oh, man.
Isn't that sad?
Yes,
and I read it, you'll go, man, I really hope that does happen, though. According to departmental sources, the decision represents a groundbreaking first for higher education across the nation, as nearly all major university religion departments have been staffed solely by atheists for the last century at least. Quote, we recognize that religion professors who believe in Christianity or who are even theists are majorly underrepresented in today's universities and college, said Anne Marie, like 15 names, at Princeton. We at Princeton are incredibly thrilled to be able to speak truth to power and share this moment as our new professor joins us. We promise to do our best to keep his voice from being marginalized, and we look forward to supporting our underrepresented minority in his scholarship.
And it was unlikely.
It's not real.
But I wanted it to be real. Maybe,
wouldn't that be something?
Maybe someday.
Maybe.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, 8 TV shows we watched as millennials growing up, but we shouldn't let our kids watch today.
Ooh, okay.
You're a TV guy. You might know more of these shows than I do, but we'll have a chat about that. We've talked before about, like, when I let my kids watch The Goonies in the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? This is PG. It didn't feel like it. My kids judged me hard. And we'll see if these TV shows fit that same bill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
The Annie Fry Show. I'm doing a little what would you call this? Interior decorating in here?
That's what I would call that.
Curtains. Yep. Not on a window. Just trying to change some things in the studio. If you watch us on the YouTube channel, you might notice that I have a blue background in the back here. I consulted my interior decorating team, which consists of Ryan and Brad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I'm gonna do this, and you guys are both like, go for it.
Well, yeah, we did. And what we said was we think a darker background would look better. Behind you.
Ethan and Brad, their spot usually has a dark background.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the television behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this white thing and a sign.
And we just had a bunch of stuff up behind you. Mm-hmm. I actually do think it looks better. But it's phase one.
The funny part about this is, yeah, it's definitely phase one. It might be phase one half. Do you see this up here?
Is that mold?
This vent. There's a vent right above my
head.
Yeah, that's,
are you wanting the vent to be on the live stream?
Is it mold?
No.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
We can make that happen.
The vent is covered in dust.
Oh, okay.
Do you see that white spot right there?
Yeah.
That is missing dust? That's where my head hit it yesterday.
Oh.
and I'm like trying to get this all done, and Brad was in here while I was doing this. He was doing his producer stuff. And at one point, he's like, right up there, he goes, you have a full circle of dust on your head right now.
So yesterday, good job clearing that spot. It's nice and clean there.
It's like it is just in that spot. So I guess I got to rub my head on the rest of that in order to get it.
Yeah, unfortunately,
clean.
You do.
Gross. So if you want to check out the new background, it's not like super exciting, but it is a little exciting for us. We're going to try to make it look a little nicer in here.
One person, I think they might be in the chat, walked in here and they saw that. And they went, holy, and then they said a word we can't air on the radio.
Cow?
Because they were so impressed by it.
When it was like only finished to where you could see it on the screen, yeah. and then the rest of it's just hanging down?
Yeah, what's funny is I was on the Mark Cox Morning Show this morning at 8:30.
How did they handle
it? I was standing in that spot where you could see where the edge of the set stops.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, this looks terrible.
Show you over here. There's a little bit of unfinished business. But you got to start somewhere.
And that's why it's phase one.
I didn't ask.
Do we know what
any of the other shows?
Do we know what the upcoming phases are going to be, Ryan, Mr. Interior Designer?
No, we gotta establish phase one before we can discuss phase two.
Yeah,
got it.
I think there should be lights, fun colored lights.
I think
Party
there
lights?
Should be. I think there should be like all kinds of food and like a real celebration.
How about garden salsa, sun chips?
I'm not opposed to
Here's
sun chips, but I'm talking like a full like chicken
Spread?
Wing display. Yeah.
Well, a chicken wing display?
Yeah, display.
Just to look at.
Maybe we.
Well, I'll eat them, but
maybe we could use the Cardinals broadcast booth as motivation. I know you got to go in there.
Yes, you took. You allowed my kids to come in.
And if you remember all the lights and the disco balls that they had in the TV booth, maybe we could use that for some motivation.
Well, that's why you're here, Ethan.
Oh,
to bring the
ideas.
Well,
that's good to know. I didn't know that. I wasn't informed about this.
All right. Yeah. Let us know. We want to make it look nice in here and just kind of spruce it up. So let us know if you like it. Great to know what it looks like behind the scenes on a radio show. 8 TV shows we watched growing up, but totally shouldn't let our kids watch today. This is according to parents.com. How much TV do your kids watch? You're pretty protective of kids' screen time still?
I would say at this point, we let them watch a little more on the weekends than we used to. Especially during the school year, but I think we're still at probably about 5 or 6 hours a week screen time.
Do you actually track it? Or do they track it?
No, we just say, okay, you guys get to go watch something for an hour and a half here, and just based on how many times we do that, I would say it's roughly 5 hours.
Yeah. There's probably more TV time in our house, but it's hard to tell, because we're in and out so much.
And some of it's video games, and you know, my daughter likes to do design games and stuff, so some of it's not TV.
The first one here, I don't know if you guys are going to have watched this, but based on the best-selling book series Gossip Girl, do you know anything about Gossip Girl?
It was a CW show, wasn't it?
It says Gossip Girl premiered in 2007 and was instantly a must-watch for tweens, teens, and young adults. But this is a tough show to introduce to your Gen Alpha kids, which I think you, Ethan, are Gen Z, and I think Gen Z goes to about kids who were born maybe in 2008 or 2009. My son was born in 2009, and I think that you know how like millennials, it's like where's a millennial, Gen X separate? I think my son, who was born in the end of 2009, goes between Gen Z and Gen Alpha.
It's weird to think that you can have a parent and a kid who are both in the same generation, technically.
Gen Alpha began in 2013.
Gen Alpha is 2013.
Gen Z is 95 to 2012.
To 2012. Okay, well, maybe I got that confused. The 2012, it's my daughter, my oldest daughter. She was the one who could go back and forth. So they would be the last Gen Zers according to this current moment in time. It says that this is a tough show to introduce your Gen Alpha kids. Though today they very likely will know the show's star Blake Lively as one of Taylor Swift's besties.
I didn't even know that though.
Watching as a parent today, it's a tough pill to swallow watching a show that glamorizes bullying, blackmail, and backstabbing.
Yikes.
Gosh, that's every movie that I watched.
Yeah.
That's every high school movie.
What are movies about high school about now?
I was just watching this morning, the She's All That scene at the prom where they have like a basically a flash mob that's led by their DJ, Usher.
Awesome.
And I watched
just organic.
It was a split screen of the actual video from the movie and then of this like dance studio of people who had learned the dance. And I was like, I want to learn that dance still. I never did. It was a failure. The next one is South Park. How much South Park have you watched in your lifetime?
It's been on so long, I've gone through phases with it where I watched it, not when it was first on, because I think I was still a little young for it, actually, when it was first on. Then in college and beyond, I'd say there was 4 or 5 years where I was really into it. And then stopped. But they're doing movies on Paramount now that are really funny. And I've been watching it again recently.
Do they not kill Kenny in every episode still?
No, that's long gone.
I didn't know that.
Kenny is sometimes actually dead and he doesn't ever come back. And other times you're like, hey, there's Kenny again for no reason.
I remember for me, that started getting quoted around.
Oh my God.
Fifth or
they sixth. They killed Kenny.
I was in fifth or sixth grade. I had like
you 11, didn't have a Kenny 11 in your
year
class,
old, 12
did you?
Year old friends watching this.
Well, this says, this is parents.com. Many of the boys in my daughter's elementary school
mm-hmm.
are obsessed with South Park, which is crazy to me because I was in college when the show premiered way back in 1997. I would have been in seventh grade. Even in the less PC days of the 90s, moment of silence. And despite being an animated show about fourth graders, South Park was not and still is not for kids. The show mocks every religion, race, and profession. In early seasons, Kenny, one of the main characters, is killed in a violent and grotesque way almost every episode. The truth is, South Park is actually a really smart show. The problem, if you're not in on the joke, especially if you're not mature enough to get the joke, the takeaways can backfire and send a negative message that acceptance and tolerance. It's not for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I would still call and ask my parents if I was allowed to watch South Park.
yeah, because you were at that age, too.
I mean, seventh grade, junior high. That's how old my oldest daughter is right now. She has no reason to watch that show right now. And I grew up in a Christian home, Lutheran schools. We didn't watch The Simpsons. And South Park was like the R-rated version of The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Beavis and Butthead was in that same category. Yeah. We can't watch that.
Beverly Hills 90210. Did you watch it at all?
No, that not because I couldn't, but I had zero interest. I was a boy.
You were?
I was. I'm a real boy.
Still?
I'm a real boy. I was obsessed with Beverly Hills 90210 from the pilot. This is from the author. And I've recently been watching in tribute to the recent death of the show's star, Shannon Doherty. And yes, watching a show that premiered in 1990 seems innocent enough. Twins Brandon and Brenda Walsh get a massive dose of culture shock when they move from Minnesota to Beverly Hills. I didn't know that was a premise.
I didn't either. That must have been episode one.
I've learned something about South Park. Kenny doesn't die anymore. Was it just like not nice to kill Kenny?
No, they just got bored with it. They would just kill him in every episode, and they got to the point where the characters were like, oh my God, they killed Kenny. they just don't even care anymore.
Okay. Yet, rewatching as a parent, there's many things that are a little tougher to accept. For example, Melrose Place was technically a spinoff of 90210. We were introduced to Melrose Place's mysterious handyman, Jake Hansen, when 90210's Kelly Taylor, a junior in high school, all but throws herself at him. While he fixes up her mom's house. So I mean, it's always kind of strange to me that in this culture and in this world that kids are growing up in and what they're consuming on social media, that we're like, 90210 isn't really morally strong enough to show kids today. I'm like, is this a win or is this?
Yeah. What is this?
Have
fall?
We quit fighting? I don't know. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The movie was okay. I never really watched the series much.
Have you seen any of these shows, Ethan? Are any of these shows?
So far, I'm 0-for. I've seen an episode here or there of South Park or a clip of it, but outside
really?
Of that, no.
I don't know that I've ever watched a whole episode of South Park, but I seriously have, like, I'm not allowed to. I know I'm 40. I am not allowed to, and then when I was old enough to make that decision for myself, I didn't really care to.
I think the thing that disappoints me is that I'm a big fan of Joss Whedon, and that is his signature series, is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I've never watched it.
It says, I mean, the show is about a vampire slayer, it says right there in the title, and while this was one of the most popular series of the late 90s, early aughts, each week's storyline unfolded among a bloodbath of intense violence. Show's a toss-up, because on one hand, you have an amazing, strong female role model in Buffy, Sarah Michelle Gellar, to introduce to your kids, but on the other hand, there's a lot of death and darkness to get her there. I just don't know why you'd ever be like, kids, gather around.
Does it stand the test of time? Has somebody watched this recently and said, yeah, it's still really good?
I didn't watch it the first time. Pretty Little Liars? Never watched it.
I remember the show.
Like Gossip Girl is based on a best-selling book series, so some of the crazy plot points and disturbing reveals shouldn't have been that shocking, but seeing it all play out in a TV series was a little nuts. First of all, the show is about a girl who just vanishes. And while her friends grapple with the loss, they're also bullied by someone named A, who threatens to expose all their secrets if they don't do whatever A wants. Ren and Stimpy.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a Ren and Stimpy guy? Were you a Nickelodeon guy?
Yeah, I was really, but Ren and Stimpy was right on the border where it was like, I think I can watch this. And the older I got, the more it was fine.
What could be so bad about an animated series from the 90s that aired on Nickelodeon and was about a chihuahua named Ren and a Manx cat? named Stimpy? Well, where one could draw a comparison to, say, Tom and Jerry, this pair was definitely meaner, more malicious, and a million times more violent. There was a lot of outrage when the show originally aired, yet the show carried on for 5 years. Seems like it was on there longer than that.
Yeah, it does.
I just can't imagine parents feeling good about their kids watching the episode today. Every cartoon, I mean, we didn't really have cable, I don't think, when this was around, or at least not that much cable. It's like, that's the entry-level cable. Was it so violent that it's worth writing about? Or mean?
It might be looking back at it now. They don't really make cartoons like that anymore.
Cartoons are all, violence is what a cartoon generally was. Like, Looney Tunes and stuff like that.
Well, they made Ren and Stimpy at times really grotesque looking on purpose.
Uh-huh.
It was a little bit like shock jock humor in a cartoon.
Okay.
So,
but wasn't it made for, like, older?
Well, it's weird because most of it was on Nickelodeon, but there was like a handful of episodes that only could air on MTV, and those were the really rare ones.
Rocco's Modern Life.
That's on the list?
Let's just say for the 3 years, 1993 to 1996, did you watch it?
A little bit.
This animated series aired on Nickelodeon. It got away with a lot of adult humor and sexual innuendos. The show's about an immigrant wallaby named Rocco and all the life dilemmas he goes through. But how many young viewers do you think understood the double entendre of Chokey Chicken, the restaurant they love too frequently?
I didn't get it.
I don't know what I'm saying out loud. It regrets. Or the pilot making reference to one of the most disturbing scenes from the movie Deliverance.
I don't remember any of that.
How much, I mean, at the same time, like, violence in cartoons is entry-level premise.
Yeah.
For basically everything. I mean, Roadrunner?
Yeah.
It's violence.
All Warner Brothers stuff.
But, like, no, your child shouldn't watch it and throw anvils on their enemies.
Right.
But
right.
If they watch it, the anvil won't actually hurt their enemies.
Well, Rocco's Modern Life wasn't even violent. They just had some adult humor slipped in that was going to go way over kids' heads.
The adult humor thing, you can, like, one of the reasons why cartoon movies are as successful as they are, whether they're made by Disney or DreamWorks or some other studio, is because they serve a purpose for everybody involved. And to be able to involve humor that grabs the attention of all ages in a way that doesn't attack the innocence of the younger viewers is complicated, but pays off. And usually those movies that end up being very successful do serve that purpose. Multi-generational entertainment, because there are layers to what is provided in the movie. The last show that you may have watched when you were younger but you shouldn't let your kids watch today, Dawson's Creek.
That should be on that list. That show is messed up.
I could not stand the writing in Dawson's Creek. And Joey, what's her face? It's Tom Cruise's
Pacey?
Katie
Holmes.
Holmes. Katie, yeah. Holmes, yes. No, Pacey, I'm fine with Pacey.
Oh, okay.
He was in Mighty Ducks, I think.
Yeah, yep.
No, his writing sucked too in that show. They used like 7-syllable words for everything.
Oh, man.
And like, you're supposed to be watching this show about high schoolers and their angsty life, and I don't think that the people you wanted to get together, Katie or Joey and Dawson, I don't think they ever get together. Maybe they do. I don't know. I never watched it.
I don't know either.
But the show was painful.
It was.
And I could never get into it. But I don't, again, know why you'd ever be like, kids.
Yeah, let's go back and watch that.
Come in here and watch this show.
Man, Gilmore Girls kills me too.
I never watched that either.
Because the dialogue is so
fast. It's the same thing.
Fast.
And nobody talks like that.
It's impossible. It's like they did the same thing in Dragnet. So I'm not just bashing CW shows from your adolescence.
The show, my kids love Last Man Standing. And I have seen every Last Man Standing episode 72 times. And so I'm like, you guys, watch Home Improvement. It's on Disney Plus. And so they've been watching Home Improvement lately. And it's funny because some of the stuff in there is not PC for today, mm-hmm. but it's still funny and it was harmless. Nobody's being hurt in this viewing of Home Improvement. So that's something I have thrown back to them to have them watch. That and Boy Meets World.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I thought they got into some dicier topics in the later seasons, but
Maybe in like the college age ones.
Okay. Just skip the college years.
I still trust Mr. Feeney. So, Those are the ones parents.com says you shouldn't let your kids watch, but I trust you to watch your kids and do what you want with your kids in a respectful way, of course. Let's take a quick break. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you fly an American flag outside of your home? Yes or no? We want to know if you do and what it means to you if you do. Jack says, I fly the American flag at my home in my country hideaway in Franklin County, watching it wave in the breeze as I chat. Do you fly one? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll give you the results. We come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Before we wrap this up and find out how many of you out there in the Annie Fry Show audience fly an American flag outside of your home, I've got, always here to help, Ryan.
Thanks.
I care about you, and I'm here to help you become a better person.
Seems facetious.
Sound like Karen calling in talking about Kamala Harris. If you didn't hear the first hour, go back and listen to a couple segments where we encourage people to call in, and you could only give a positive endorsement of your candidate. You couldn't say anything negative about the other guy or girl. And if you did, we hung up on you with a buzzer.
It was a pretty good segment.
I thought so. We've done worse.
It was two segments. So you need to get the whole first hour.
On the podcast, 8 Habits of Naturally Classy People.
Oh, okay.
That always leave a lasting impression. The number one is they know the power of first impressions. What do you think about making a first impression on people?
Nope. You?
Yes.
Do you?
Absolutely.
You know, if it's an important meeting or something, then sure. I'm going to come in. I'm going to be dressed to the nines.
Well, who isn't worth your first impression?
Well, thought? I mean, you meet people all the time, and I can't say every time I'm like, oh, I want them to think highly of me.
But you do. You care about that
stuff. You'd be surprised how much I don't think about that, though.
I do think about that. I don't necessarily think about that, like, if I'm walking through, Walmart or something like that. But if I'm meeting people, it makes a difference. First impressions. I think first impressions on this show, as an interviewer, make a difference. If we ever get a big guest, especially if it's an author, as you guys know, I will read their book the day before. I'll get it on Audible, and I'll read it at 3 times the speed in Audible and listen to it so that I can have it read by the time we interview. Do you do first impressions? Do you care about that stuff?
Like you said, I think it depends on the situation. I think that there's probably a natural, just like if you carry yourself a certain way where you're not necessarily concerned about that, because if you go about things a certain way, what I would define as the non-Wiggins way, you're probably not really going to be concerned about the return you get back.
The advice that is given here is to be genuine, approachable, and authentic.
I'm all those things all the time to all people near and far.
Number two, nice. Being a master of the art of conversation.
Not being?
No, being one.
Oh.
It is unbelievable. Once you unlock this part of conversation with people, you want people to like you, ask them questions about them, and listen to them talk about themselves. That's the main trick. Be willing to listen and talk about other people. Generally speaking, conversations between two individuals is just two individuals trading time talking about themselves. And if you shake that game up, it will leave such a lasting impression on the person you're having a conversation with, because people don't have conversations to listen and to learn. They have conversations to speak and tell.
Yeah. I ask a lot of questions. Did you notice my power tie? Things like that.
Where is it?
Well, I'm not wearing one today. Okay. But in those important meetings that we're talking about, I walk in, first question I ask.
When was the last time you wore a tie? A, when was the last time you wore a tie? B, when was the last time you wore a tie to a meeting?
I walk in and I see the person behind the desk. I'm like, no, don't even stand up. I got you covered, brother. And then I reach my hand across the desk, and I just shake their hand as hard as I can. I'm like, that's a good firm handshake, isn't it? Look at my power tie. What do you think about that?
Are you 75? Good grief.
A couple of days ago, you brought up the impact that wearing your black shirt has on people.
The black shirt?
Would you argue...
is dirty.
Would you,
I look for it.
Would you argue that the black shirt tends to have that effect of where your lack of concern with what people think comes from?
I don't know what that question means, but the shirt
does the black shirt have an impact?
Yeah, on young women.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't add into your, I don't care about how this first interaction goes, though.
No, because I still don't care. That's what's so great about getting noticed by hot people, is that you're like, I didn't even try. This is crazy, but they're still noticing me and pointing and their jaws all slacked. Oh, whoa. You know, that kind of stuff.
It was almost a third Sprockets reference.
Oh, jeez.
Number three, they practice kindness always.
That's great for them.
Kindness is one of those qualities that's often underestimated, but I'll let you in on a little secret. It's one of the most powerful traits a person can possess. Can't you tell when you meet somebody and there is an air of kindness about them? That really shows. You don't have to say things particularly, but you can just tell when somebody is... It's more of a selfless thing, I think. And it kind of goes back to talking about letting other people talk about themselves or asking questions that shows interest in another person instead of, oh, it's so nice for you to meet me, which is what often ends up happening. Number four, they're always punctual.
What's the list again? Like, what's the overarching?
What are we talking about?
We are halfway through it.
Habits of people who are naturally classy.
Naturally classy. Okay. Because sometimes we do successful.
This is so foreign to you, you don't even recognize it.
No, it's just, it's natural, to use your words, the article's words. What was the one we just read? The bullet point?
Punctual.
Punctual. Yeah. Well, you know.
I wish it were attentive. We
got to be right on time all the time here on the Andy Frye Show. So I would say we're pretty classy in that sense.
How important is being punctual to you, Ethan? Being on time. What is on time for you?
Something I'm still working on, I should say.
Room for improvement?
Yeah, room for improvement. Recognition that it's important, but want to continue getting better at it.
You're kind of casual about it.
You know what would fix punctuality for almost everybody?
Time travel.
Teleportation. Yes. We were very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, teleportation, because then you wouldn't have to worry about the roads.
The amount of time.
Just get in your little chamber.
Pollution.
You hit the button, blue goo rises up, you just disappear.
You might just evaporate.
Yep. Have you heard?
Solve some other problems.
I've seen on Twitter a recent trend of people wanting to have basically an excuse in new jobs, and I guess what would be considered my generation, where they basically don't want to take responsibility for being late and saying it's a condition that they have, mm-hmm. that they can't be on time.
I think that there is a COVID thing that exists for people who are in your generation where everything has just kind of become more flexible. I think in time it'll get tightened up a little bit when those people who are on other people's time then become the person who's managing the time, and the next group of people is not on time, then that starts to shift. Let's see. Five is, we don't have much time left here. They're excellent at maintaining boundaries. Yes, I like.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be too close to Do you stand too close to people?
No, not at all. In fact, the only rallies I went to in 2020 were ones where I could sit in a folding chair surrounded by a circle and nobody can come to the circle.
Big Biden guy.
Yep.
Okay. Number six, they're comfortable in their own skin.
Me.
Definition of classy, Ryan Wiggins.
There you go. And number seven, they value quality over quantity. Ooh. I am very in on that at this age of my life.
If you set two bags of gummy bears down in front of me and one of them was, you know, 0.4 ounces or something, but it was really good Albanese ones. Or
the show is over.
You set down
this is not
a 5 pound
how we end the show.
Bag.
I have
I'm
to
taking
talk
the
about
5 pounds.
The last one is they're consistently respectful.
Cool.
Little work could be done there.
You're still running out of time.
The YouTube live chat poll. Do you fly?
Punctuality is one of them.
And shush! Do you fly an American flag outside of your home? Ryan, do you?
I used to, but
that's
I respected
no.
the
Ethan,
flag too much in the rain
My
and stuff.
My parents do, yes.
You do? I do as well. 79% of you guys, almost 300 votes, said that you do fly an American flag outside your home. Thank you to everybody who called in today, listening today. Check the podcast and keep it here. Welcome back to the Andy Frye Show. Before we wrap this up and find out how many of you out there in the Andy Frye Show audience fly an American flag outside of your home, I've got, always here to help, Ryan.
Thanks.
I care about you, and I'm here to help you become a better person.
Seems facetious.
Sound like Karen calling in talking about Kamala Harris. If you didn't hear the first hour, go back and listen to a couple segments where we encourage people to call in, and you could only give a positive endorsement of your candidate. You couldn't say anything negative about the other guy or girl. And if you did, we hung up on you with a buzzer.
It was a pretty good segment.
I thought so. We've done worse.
It was two segments, so you need to get the whole first hour.
On the podcast, 8 Habits of Naturally Classy People.
Oh, okay.
That always leave a lasting impression. The number one is they know the power of first impressions. What do you think about making a first impression on people?
Nope. You?
Yes.
Do you?
Absolutely.
You know, if it's an important meeting or something, then sure. I'm going to come in. I'm going to be dressed to the nines.
Well, who isn't worth your first impression?
Well, thought? I mean, you meet people all the time, and I can't say every time I'm like, oh, I want them to think highly of me.
But you do. You care about that stuff.
You'd be surprised how much I don't think about that, though.
I do think about that. I don't necessarily think about that, like, if I'm walking through, Walmart or something like that. But if I'm meeting people, it makes a difference. First impressions. I think first impressions on the show as an interviewer make a difference. If we ever get a big guest, especially if it's an author, as you guys know, I will read their book the day before. I'll get it on Audible and I'll read it at 3 times the speed in Audible and listen to it so that I can have it read by the time we interview. Do you do first impressions? Do you care about that stuff?
Like you said, I think it depends on the situation. I think that there's probably a natural just like if you carry yourself a certain way where you're not necessarily concerned about that. Because if you go about things a certain way, what I would define as the non-Wiggins way, you're probably not really going to be concerned about the return you get back.
The advice that is given here is to be genuine, approachable, and authentic.
I'm all those things. All the time, to all people, near and far.
Number two, nice. Being a master of the art of conversation.
Not being?
No, being one.
Oh.
It is unbelievable. Once you unlock this part of conversation with people, you want people to like you, ask them questions about them, and listen to them talk about themselves. That's the main trick. Be willing to listen and talk about other people. Generally speaking, conversations between two individuals is just two individuals trading time talking about themselves. And if you shake that game up, it will leave such a lasting impression on the person you're having a conversation with because people don't have conversations to listen and to learn. They have conversations to speak and tell.
Yeah. I ask a lot of questions. Did you notice my power tie? Things like that.
Where is it?
Well, I'm not wearing one today. Okay. But in those important meetings that we're talking about, I walk in, first question I ask.
When was the last time you wore a tie? A, when was the last time you wore a tie? B, when was the last time you wore a tie to a meeting?
I walk in and I see the person behind the desk. I'm like, no, don't even stand up. I got you covered, brother. And then I reach my hand across the desk and I just shake their hand as hard as I can. I'm like, that's a good firm handshake, isn't it? Look at my power tie. What do you think about
that? Are you 75? Good grief.
A couple of days ago, you brought up the impact that wearing your black shirt has on people.
The black shirt?
Would you argue?
Is dirty.
Would you,
I look for it.
Would you argue that the black shirt tends to have that effect of where your lack of concern with what people think comes from?
I don't know what that question means, but the shirt
does. The black shirt have an impact?
Yeah, on young women.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't add into your, I don't care about how this first interaction goes, though.
No, because I still don't care. That's what's so great about getting noticed by hot people, is that you're like, I didn't even try. This is crazy, but they're still noticing me and pointing and their jaws all slacked. Oh, whoa. You know, that kind of stuff.
It was almost a third Sprockets reference.
Jeez.
Number three, they practice kindness always.
That's great for them.
Kindness is one of those qualities that's often underestimated, but I'll let you in on a little secret. It's one of the most powerful traits a person can possess. Can't you tell when you meet somebody and there is an air of kindness about them? That really shows. You don't have to say things particularly, but you can just tell when somebody is... It's more of a selfless thing, I think. And it kind of goes back to talking about letting other people talk about themselves or asking questions that shows interest in another person instead of, oh, it's so nice for you to meet me, which is what often ends up happening. Number four, they're always punctual.
What's the list again? Like, what's the overarching?
What are we talking about?
We are halfway through it.
Habits of people who are naturally classy.
Naturally classy. Okay. Because sometimes we do successful.
This is so foreign to you, you don't even recognize it.
No, it's just, it's natural, to use your words, the article's words. What was the one we just read? The bullet point?
Punctual.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I wish it were attentive.
We got to be right on time all the time here on the Annie Fry Show. So I would say we're pretty classy in that sense.
How important is being punctual to you, Ethan? Being on time. What is on time for you?
Something I'm still working on, I should say.
Room for improvement?
Yeah, room for improvement. Recognition that it's important, but want to continue getting better at it.
You're kind of casual about it.
You know what would fix punctuality for almost everybody?
Time travel.
Teleportation. Yes. We were very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, teleportation, because then you wouldn't have to worry about the roads.
The amount of time.
Just get in your little chamber.
Pollution.
You hit the button, the blue goo rises up, you just disappear.
You might just evaporate.
Yep. Have you heard?
Solve some other problems.
I've seen on Twitter a recent trend of people wanting to have basically an excuse in new jobs, and I guess what would be considered my generation, where they basically don't want to take responsibility for being late and saying it's a condition that they have, that they can't be on time.
I think that there is a COVID thing that exists for people who are in your generation where everything has just kind of become more flexible. I think in time it'll get tightened up a little bit when those people who are on other people's time then become the person who's managing the time, and the next group of people is not on time, then that starts to shift. Let's see. Five is, we don't have much time left here. They're excellent at maintaining boundaries. Yes, I like.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be too close to you. Do you stand too close to people?
No, not at all. In fact, the only rallies I went to in 2020 were ones where I could sit in a folding chair surrounded by a circle and nobody can come to the circle.
Big Biden guy.
Yep.
Okay. Number six, they're comfortable in their own skin.
Me.
Definition of classy, Ryan Wiggins.
There you go. And number seven, they value quality over quantity. Ooh. I am very in on that at this age of my life.
If you set two bags of gummy bears down in front of me and one of them was, you know, 0.4 ounces or something, but it was really good Albanese ones. Or
the show is over.
You set down
this is not
a 5 pound bag.
I'm taking the five pounds. The last one is they're consistently respectful.
Cool.
A little work could be done there.
You're still running out of time.
The YouTube live chat poll. Do you fly?
Punctuality is one of them.
And shush! Do you fly an American flag outside of your home? Ryan, do you?
I used to, but
that's
I respected
no.
the
Ethan,
flag too much in the rain
My
and stuff.
My parents do, yes.
You do? I do as well. 79% of you guys, almost 300 votes, said that you do fly an American flag outside your home. Thank you to everybody who called in today, listening today. Check the podcast and keep it here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.